listening to Around Comics. Comics episode 424. You're also watching Around Comics. I'm Brian Salazar. With me is Christopher Niesman. This is
It's the Chris and Sal Show.
This is the No Tom Thursday here. Show.
Nice boob shot there.
Thank you.
It's not how we're gonna get them to keep around once they find out Tom's not here.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all I got. It's all I got, man. I don't really have anything else.
Bad boob shot.
Boob shots.
Yeah. Hello, 50s.
My hair.
you got more than me.
Welcome to another episode of Around Comics. Hi. We don't have a Tom. We're out of Toms. We're
Tomless, but that's okay because we've got comics.
Where is Tom? Tom is...
He said he was seeing how the sausage was made.
Literally?
Yeah, like literally. He's like a sausage factory.
Oh, that's right, Bob Evans.
I mean, he's from Green Bay, so this is
nothing
kind
new
of,
for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's in his blood. You know, it should feel completely natural. Man, our schedule has been so in all of the time that we've done this show, beginning to end, we only have a pretty sizable break in between, but. Man, our scheduling has been tough. It's like, you know, everyone's growing up and going off to college and getting jobs.
Yeah, I don't know why we still do this, to be honest. Not sure what we're trying to prove at this point to the 12 people that listen to this goddamn podcast. Yeah.
You know, I'm working into one of my patented segues. We're going to go a little off book today.
That would have been nice to know.
Yeah, we're going to mix some comics and some TV together to start off with, I think.
No!
People growing up and, you know, relationships, you know.
Oh, God.
Breaking apart and coming back together. And it was just like the magic of being, you know, in high school in your early college years in the 1980s. And, yeah, so it's like... It's a Stranger Things.
You're really segue. Awful at this. Why do you continue to...
Stranger Things! Season 4!
The comics?
And you're reading... you told me you're reading the Stranger Thing graphic novel. I've been reading Stranger Things Kamchatka. I can never say that damn
town. Easy for you to say.
Kamchatka.
The Russian prison?
The Russian prison, yeah. It's a tie-in story with the season 4 of the TV show, and it's written by Michael Morcai, and it's really good.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that young man.
Yeah, but you're reading the mainline graphic novel.
Yeah, I decided.
Is it a graphic novel or what? Is it a collected miniseries?
I don't know. I think it was a collected miniseries. I think it was initially, I think it's become out in issues and they collect them into trades and then they collect those trades into like library editions.
Okay.
To eventually get to like the, you know, hopefully Scholastica or something. And they sell a bunch of comic books that, you know, maybe kids would be interested in. Although, you know,
yeah. Well, the Stranger Things graphic novel is going to be in every fucking library in the country,
as well it should
and
be
all of Canada,
as well it should be. There's no reason for it not to be. As with most everyone in the world at this point, you know, finishing up season 4. I finished season 4 of Stranger Things, and I do really love the show. I mean, it's so much of my, I mean, I was those kids. I was 13 years old, you know, when that show started, I was 13 years old, 1984. I was 13. I played Dungeons & Dragons, read comic books in my buddy's basement. We went out on our BMX bikes. Mm-hmm. We played, you know, like I said, we played D&D. We got in trouble. We fought monsters, at least in our heads. You know, if there were monsters, we would have absolutely been fucking gearing up, you know, with
that putting knives through trash can lids.
The only thing that is disappointing in the show so far is that there has not been any evidence of the explosion of martial arts schools and martial arts stores in the Midwest in the 1980s, because if that was me and my friends, we absolutely would have had nunchucks and tonfa and katanas. Oh,
throwing stars. Yeah,
throwing stars. No question we would have had all of that stuff with us to battle Demogorgons, for sure. So that is the only place that I can say that the Stranger Things people, the Russo brothers, or no, the Duffer brothers, sorry, not the Russo brothers,
the Duffer
brothers. Other brothers. What is with all these brothers? I need a brother. That's my problem. I don't have a brother to write with.
Yeah.
The Duffer brothers, that's the only thing that, you know, that they've failed on in nailing the nostalgia of that era.
Especially in like what is essentially rural Indiana.
Yeah, suburban. Yeah, right. Rural.
No, it's not even suburban. It's like 80 miles from Indianapolis. That is rural Indiana.
Yeah, friend. But I wouldn't say Hawkins is really portrayed as like farmland. What rural Indiana really is, like, I don't think Hawkins is.
That is if there's a nit to pick, it's like, yeah, I don't know if Hawkins is really.
It could be closer like to Gary. Rural. I mean, I don't know, where's Hawkins at in Indiana? You know.
Indianapolis, way be closer to Louisville.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what if they're 80 miles west?
Oh, could be. Yeah. It could be. Okay. Yeah, it could be closer to Louisville, Cincinnati, something like
that. Yeah, so I don't – yeah, it's definitely much more like where I grew up, where it's just more suburban, that, you know, certainly than rural, you know. But, yeah, regardless, I think, you know, they did show in season four – them going to the military supply store, which was, you know, but really it's like martial arts were such a huge thing in the 80s, taekwondo schools and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, Karate Kid and then American Ninja and all the, you know, what, Canon films. And
so that's one thing that, you know, it always amazes me with the writers of, you know, I don't know how old they are, but like the Duffer brothers are in their 30s. They're 10 years younger than me. So yeah. They didn't grow up in the 80s, like, and they grew up in the 90s, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, it always...
So that probably explains a little bit. It is probably just like a little bit of a nostalgia from maybe, you know, older people that they knew, because
right,
you know, it's so spot on, but there are those weird little things like martial arts schools.
Yeah, I'm happy to consult for season five if they need an actual 80s person, someone that was actually mm-hmm. 13 years old in 1984. I'd be happy to, and in high school in 1986. So.
Yeah. Well, I will say in rural Indiana, there's going to be a lot more of the Hairspray metal fans would have been there.
For sure. In rural Indiana?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. There would have been. Well, the Hairspray or the more that was, you know.
That was. Yeah. You know, kind of starting. Well, that would have been.
I mean, 86 was. Metallica.
So that was really like Poison, Cinderella.
That was a little later.
Is that more like 86 to 89?
Well, I think Metallica came, that, like Master of Puppets came out in 86.
Yeah. Well, that's why it was featured in the show. They, I would not ever consider them Hairspray.
No, that's what I'm saying. They were kind of anti-Hairspray. But like, let's see,
would it be Crew? Would that have been like the Hairspray metal? I feel like we're swimming in waters that, you know, we're not real comfortable in here.
What are you saying? What are you asking?
Would Motley Crue be like the first Hairspray metal band?
I don't know if they'd be the first, but I mean, they were one of the earlier ones. '81, I think Too Fast for Love came out in '83.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Shout at the Devil was 83. Or no, Too Fast for Love was 81. Shout at the Devil was 83. Theater of Pain was 85. So that would have been that, yeah, the glam metal thing. I don't know if they were necessarily the first. I mean, they were part of the first wave.
But, well, I mean, yeah. Honestly, Alice Cooper was doing it in the 70s. Before he was doing horror, he was doing
glam. Yeah, you had the New York Dolls. You had, you certainly had stuff.
Yeah,
you
know,
at the end of the like, punk and
glam and like Hairspray metal. I mean, that's a subgenre for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and you had Kiss. Yeah.
You know, Kiss Crew. They could write a fucking pop song. God, they could write a pop song.
I'm going to see Crew tomorrow night at.
That's amazing.
I'm going to see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Poison, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue at Wrigley Field.
That's about the only way they'll ever pull you into Wrigley Field.
Yeah, the last time I was at Wrigley Field was a Jimmy Buffett concert. So I keep going to see really old fucking bands at Wrigley Field.
That's amazing.
This is not by my choice necessarily. I saw Motley Crue 3 times in the 80s. I don't necessarily need to see them now when they're 70 years old. I saw Def Leppard, I saw Poison, and I saw Joan Jett. I saw all these bands in their, in much more to their prime. Yeah.
Well, I've got Run the Jewels and Rage Against the Machine this Saturday. Yeah, Alpine Valley.
Alpine. That'll be fun. Nice. Thanks for the invite. I appreciate.
I bought these tickets almost 3 years ago for this show.
Well, you still didn't invite me then either. Yeah, I mean, we knew each other three years ago, right? Like we were.
You want to come up Saturday? I can get you a ticket.
No. Anyway, back to the actual comic book, The Stranger Things. So I started reading the comic, and it's a Dark Horse comic, which doesn't always necessarily mean lower quality, but in this case
it doesn't always mean it's high quality.
It doesn't always mean it's high quality, and it's that's the fucked up thing. Like, I don't necessarily understand the thinking behind a company like Netflix or whoever owns a property that then sells it or licenses it to a comic book company to publish, and it's usually like not the greatest art, not the best talent on it, not the best writers. And not to say that this is horrible or
well, and or bad. I think you see the wildest swings in IP books from like, this is someone that is obviously getting thrown a bone by an editor to be like, okay, earn your chops. Kind of feel
it's like
your entry level. And then there are other things where it's like fucking Jason Aaron and Cassidy. Right.
And it's written by Jody Houser, and nothing against her necessarily. It's penciled by a handful of different people, which is another sort of like weird thing that it's not consistent in who pencils it. Or who does the art, I should say, because it's mostly pencils and inks. And it's always a weird thing of like, well, how much do you make it look like the characters? How much do you try and just draw it, however you would draw a regular comic book? And then it a lot of times that ends up being like this weird, inhuman looking people, because you're trying to make it look like the characters, the actors, but not really. And
you know who I always thought did a really good job with that? Was the Buffy comics.
Yeah.
They kind of established their own character style with those characters that, over time it's Buffy did not look like someone trying to draw Michelle Geller.
Right.
But she was immediately identifiable as Buffy. And that was for the other, for most of the rest of the cast. I felt that way anyway, where I think the rough one is whenever, like Star Trek. I really want to like Star Trek comics, but of like the original series, it's like they can't get out of trying to, be almost photorealistic in how they render those characters to the actors.
Right. Yeah. And it is a weird thing. I get it. You can't, and I will say this, even though it's sort of like four different pencilers, it does sort of kind of is,
Is it broken up evenly, or
yeah, it's actually... by issue. By
okay, like... see that sucks because I mean, if you were really trying to play with the art form, and you had a story that was built around, you know, multiple, you know, interweaving stories, because that's Stranger Things is always like that. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. It's this group is doing this and this group is doing that. And
right.
then there's this group over here. So yeah, if you have three or four artists, you could have it plotted out.
Actually, you know what? I think I'm mistaken. I think mm-hmm. so. What it is this collection is four different collections. Mm-hmm. It's all written by Jody Hauser, but I think it's four issue collections.
Okay.
So the four issues are written by Jody Hauser and drawn by one artist. And then the next four issues are drawn by one. Artist. So there is,
cohesion between.
But it's I think it's a hard ask. I think it's just sort of like licensed comics are a tough ask, especially like four seasons into watching Stranger Things. And then I pick up a comic book. But mm-hmm. It always sucks for me because I always, you know, whenever I do pick up a licensed comic, it's because I really love the stories and the characters and the world. And I want to continue. Yeah. I want that to continue. I want to get more of those characters and more of the world. And you get it. But then it's like, it's not really it. And it's not that it's not done nearly as well. And I know that's like a really.
It's worth it when you get surprised.
Yeah, I haven't really run into that very often. It's not something I've really...
28 Days Later was one of those. I bought that comic because I liked the movie,
but wasn't,
28 Days Later.
Wasn't that backwards? 28 Days Later was a comic first.
No.
Are you sure?
It was based on the movie.
Okay, well, there you go.
And that comic was fucking awesome.
Well, it was Declan Shelby. That's why.
Right? Yeah. But that's when no one knew who the fuck right. Declan Shelby was. That may have been like his first big... was that Image?
It was Boom. It was something like that. Boom Studios. It was a Boom book. Written by Michael Allen Nelson.
Yeah, we met him at a con. He may have even been on the show at some point. But yeah, he was the guy that wrote... I think he wrote the book. Did he write Rex Mundi?
Cthulhu, Zombie Tales, Pirate Tales, 28 Days Later.
Okay, no.
Dingo, Dominion, not. Fall of Cthulhu, Hexed, Malignant Man. He's written a lot, but I don't see that on here.
Yeah, yeah. 28 Days Later, if you can find it, man. That comic is awesome. It's I enjoyed it more than Why the Last Man, as far as kind of like a just a crazy post-apocalyptic survival tale.
I will have to check it out.
It's great.
But going back to the Stranger Things, I mean, so the first collection, and I think all of these, I will admit, I have not read all four yet. I've started, you know, the collection, and I've read the first one, and there, the first one, it tells the story of basically Will after he gets trapped in the Upside Down, you know,
that's in season cool. one.
And then like the second one is the story of Dustin going to camp. So it's in between season, you know, one and two. And yeah. So I, you know, it's all these sort of stories in between the main series of the television show and which I like that.
It's fun. And I think really good creative teams can pull it off, but that's a difficult brief to be handed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's,
we're going to take these highly recognizable characters that people already know before they pick up the comic. And you're going to write in this time frame. And so as you pick up the character, whenever you set it down, it can't have changed. And we also know what the near future of the character, you know, is as well.
Yeah, it's a tough ask of a creative team for a comic to do. And especially since, you know, you look at like Stranger Things, that show... How many writers are in the writer's room for Stranger Things? You know what I mean? Like a dozen? I don't know. You know, at least a half a dozen, if not more, right? Yeah. And then it's like, okay, we'll take those characters that are now beloved and write something in between the series that we wrote, and you know, and just, and you probably, you know, your timeline's probably shit, and yeah, it's a really difficult ask of them, and you know, I have to just keep that in mind.
In comics, I've seen do it in recent memory is Charles Soule.
Yeah, he's very good with the Star Wars stuff for sure.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep reading these, you know, just because, like I said, I love Stranger Things, and you know, I want to kind of get. I'm reading a Stranger Things novel right now. I started reading the Talisman. You know, I picked up a used copy of that, so I'm just like all Stranger Things right now, to try and keep that sort of feeling of, you know, warm nostalgic feeling of that era alive in my cold dead old man heart. We probably have one more season of Stranger Things, and then that's probably going to be the end of at least
It'll be the end of this Stranger Things. I don't think that the Duffer brothers are done telling stories in this universe. Or you know what? I can imagine that they kind of want to try something else. So.
Well, they just signed a big deal with Netflix to produce a bunch of stuff, including a Stranger Things
spinoff.
Well, a Stranger Things play, I think they're doing, that will then end up on Netflix. They're going to do, there was a Stranger Things, some other sort of Stranger Things live action series. A live action series adaptation of the Japanese manga and anime series Death Note. A series adaptation of The Talisman by Stephen King and Peter Straub. An original series from Dark Crystal Age of Resistance creators Jeffrey Addis and Will Matthews. It's a 9-figure deal with Netflix that they signed, and it also includes the final and fifth season of Stranger Things.
Holy crap.
The new company named for the supernatural world they created in Stranger Things, it's called Upside Down Pictures. it's a monster deal with Netflix. So we'll see what else they come up with. Yeah, but I read somewhere like part of it is an adaptation of the first season into a play of some sort, which I actually went and saw a play of Stranger Things in a small theater in Chicago. So that'll be interesting to see what, you know, what other Stranger Things stuff. I'm already sort of bemoaning the end of it. It'll be a sad.
It's gonna be like 2 years from now.
I know, but it'll be difficult for me. It'll be a difficult time. As my, you know, the last gasps of my childhood die off. The best. As I just get old and decrepit, and all I have left are Stranger Things.
Well, we get another TV show that is gonna be. I think it's going to be maligned as a Stranger Things ripoff, and that's unfortunate because it was written, you know, I think well before Stranger Things. Paper Girls debuts at the end of the month.
Oh yes, what is that coming out on?
Amazon Prime, I think, and that's the Brian K. Vaughan. Marcos Martin book that was Cliff Chang.
Cliff Chang. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely, you know, people will say that it was I don't know. I have no idea what the timeline is.
It's definitely, I think Stranger Things leans more into the horror. Paper Girls leans a little bit more into the sci-fi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait. I don't care what people think of it. I can't wait to fucking watch it.
I like the series. I don't know that I'll love it nearly as much as I do Stranger Things, but I did like Paper Girls. For sure. So that's Amazon, right? Looks like Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Do they have a trailer?
I don't know. I don't think so. Paper Prime, Return to Paper Girls. Oh yeah, there is. There is a trailer. Paper Girls season one trailer. Would you like to watch it?
Let's watch it.
Let's see if I can hold on.
I actually haven't seen the trailer yet. Yeah, so other Brian K. Vaughan stuff that's... Oh, there we go.
I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
Can you hear anything?
Hey. Yeah, a little bit.
Aaron, so you're Mac, right? So I'm your first paperboy rancher.
Was it a boy?
You must be the Brandman kid.
AJ.
My dad says you people own everything.
You people?
She's new.
Damn, they cast a bit out of this.
I'll could, like, bite you or something. What is that?
What does this guy look like?
Move! Let's get out of here!
It's very,
What are you doing in my house?
Eclectic group of
what
young
are you doing
girls
in my house?
That all
well,
paper up.
No,
I'm yeah.
here. That's her. Holy shit. This is a psychotic break.
12-year-old
version.
Yeah, I love how they cast it. I mean, it looks like the comic.
That really is future you. Maybe she can call someone. Who she gonna call?
Time travel 911.
Do you want to call 911?
Oh, good lord, there are future robots.
We need help. I might not want them.
The girls traveled out of their time. That's a capital offense. New target step.
It's
nice knowing you, I guess.
Yeah, it's. We'll see what people think. Because this show, I mean, that comic got real, real, real quick.
Future me will know how to get us home.
You have no idea what's at stake here.
Yeah. It's the fate of humanity. I get it.
This, right here, is the end of the universe.
We're paper girls, so we stick together.
Future you is not all that bad.
She did give you that rad shirt, which says dumb on it.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll last longer than the last Brian K. Vaughan show that was on TV.
I haven't heard boo about that coming back. Have you?
No. God, no. They, like, initially, I know that they were, like, the director was trying to, you know, get a campaign, but I don't, they couldn't even.
Yeah, the director was like, well, we'll find a way to tell our story.
Sure.
And I was like, can you find a way to tell it better?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brian K. Vaughan has always been a very progressive, you know, sort of writer, and his characters and stories have always leaned that direction. But I think, like, that show was just not good. It just wasn't a good show.
I don't know. I don't think it lived up to the source material.
Yeah. Paper Girls. It didn't look nearly as intriguing to me necessarily as Stranger Things, but
It's going to be a different show for sure.
I have my own Stranger Things ripoff that I'm working on, so.
Nice. But overall, have you enjoyed season four?
Loved it. Yeah, I finished it. I loved season four of Stranger Things. I thought it was terrific. Yeah. I thought the what's his name? The metalhead.
Hoopa? Eddie.
The Eddie Munson moment was perfect. The song was perfect. Yeah. The idea of that was just, yeah, absolutely perfect.
The band also agrees that it was awesome.
Yeah, Metallica agreed that it was awesome. Yeah. And yeah, and they, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, well, they're back on the charts. You know, it's probably the highest that Master of Puppets has ever been on the charts, period. I'll guarantee that.
I don't know, but
this, Master of Puppets was like never like a number one hit.
But I've listened to Sirius XM, and there's a metal station. It's not even metal. It's Ozzy's Boneyard. So it is metal, but it's, you know. And it is on all the time now. They play Master of Puppets constantly on that station now. It's kind of funny, but.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And fucking Of an Era.
Oh, no question. No question. Yeah. And like, that's why it was spot on. It was the perfect, I mean, when that came out, it was, you know, it was a watershed moment. It was this.
Kids were hungry for that.
Oh yeah. It was
like Eddie Munson were hungry for that.
It was the right time it hit, you know. It was like Nirvana, you know, when Nirvana came out, and just, you know, it was the same kind of thing. It was just the right timing for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yep, we got a cliffhanger. So, is it 2 years? Is that what the usual wait is on these?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not paying attention to scheduling. That's not whenever it comes out, I'll be there.
I want to. We are going to do an ACTV, but I think Tom is going to join us. So we're probably going to mix a little. Comics and TV on that one, so we can commingle the waters here a little bit this week, I think. Are you caught up on Strange New Worlds?
I think so.
I am up to everything but the season finale.
I don't. I think I might have watched
this. Did you see the episode where they were the away party with the Gorn?
Yes,
that was. Goddamn fucking frightening.
I don't know about that, but it was alien-esque.
I was watching that late at night. There were no, you know, lights off in the house, and yeah, it's for like Aliens to be like a really influential horror movie for me. Yeah, that episode scared the shit out of me.
I don't know. I wasn't scared. I wasn't say I was scared. I enjoyed the episode.
It was great. Come on, the idea like little mean things fucking eating you. God damn. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Not terribly scared.
But overall, continue to love Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, it's terrific. I love that Pike is sort of, you know, they're leaning on like his dadness. He's sort of the dad captain, you know, just sort of. It's funny, you know, I didn't realize who he was until like two or three episodes in, and then I realized he was the guy from Hell on Wheels. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't realize that was him. And I can't believe that's the same guy, like the guy from Hell on Wheels.
Oh my God, it is.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it until a couple episodes in. I was just like, oh, I had no idea that was the same dude. And he just plays such a badass sort of rough and tough cowboy kind of guy in Hell on Wheels. And I just, I'd never made the connection. I don't even know how I made the connection. It might've been when they were like, there was some cowboy moment in Star Trek where he, you know, cause he has a sort of a little bit of cowboy in him.
Oh, there's a lot of cowboy. Yeah. There.
Absolutely. And I made that connection. I was like, oh my God, he's from Hell on Wheels. Yeah.
And you're right. Cause right now I would say he is America's best TV dad.
Yeah. He's pretty good. Pretty good. For sure. hopefully he doesn't end up like some of our other terrific TV dads that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy that's just kind of his role on the ship of nurturing a little bit and mm-hmm. you know, he has fun. A lot of, you know, it's like most captains are really serious And oh, he has a little fun. He has a,
I know. Well, I mean, what's the, you know, what's his command to go?
I don't even remember. What is it?
Hit it.
Oh yeah. Hit it.
I'm just like, that's perfect.
Yeah. He's
yeah, good. Hit it.
The show's great. I mean,
I love the relationship with he and the pilot. And she's like, are you going to say it? He's like, hit it.
Ortega.
She's like, there we go. Ortega, yeah. Who's great. Yeah. I love the cast.
Yeah. The cast is great. Although I was very sad in the last, not to spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, we do lose a cast member, which was very sad.
We had our Tasha Yar moment.
Well, and especially since it was like, we really hadn't gotten to know that character very well up until this point. And then all of a sudden you kind of get to know the character a lot and then they kill him. And it's just like, come on.
It's the Tasha Yar moment, which, you know, it's like, okay, you remember that, right?
Yeah.
From Next Generation. It's, was there a contract dispute?
I don't know. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the episode before this where it was the whole fantasy realm thing. Just the fact that they're able to pull that off. And it was hokey, but it was still...
It was perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty well
done. I was like 10 minutes into it. I'm like, oh man, they are digging deep into some original series shenanigans.
Oh, for sure.
And then they... I was like, I almost texted you. I was just like, I can't remember the last time I watched a Star Trek episode that I was like, this is stupid drivel at, you know, 10 minutes in and I'm almost crying at the end. Right?
Yeah, it's pretty well done. I mean
you as a dad, especially a dad of a, you know, of a girl, I mean it kind of had to get you a little bit.
For sure. No, it's great. I think they're doing a terrific job. I think that I don't know that I could be much happier with a new Star Trek series as an old Star Trek series fan.
It has like all of the like wit and like mirth that the old, like the original series did, but it does it with a really updated sensibility and just fantastic writing. It's like they're not afraid to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. But it also it has weight to it.
I think it is the best representation of the original philosophy of the show since the original show. I think that, you know, as much as I love Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, all the, you know, I've enjoyed most all of the Star Trek shows that have come after. But I think this one upholds the just the general concepts and philosophy that Roddenberry tried to create, and even pushes them, you know, in a really good way forward, even more so. You know what I mean? Like it does it in a perfect balanced way of entertaining, heartfelt, you know, it's got all the, you know, fun, silly when it wants to be silly, and serious when it needs to be serious, and, you know, really well done. But at the core of it, it's like, this is as close to the original and better than, you know what I mean? Like the special effects, the acting, the writing is all better. It's all better than the original series.
Yeah. And we get to see steps of character development and growth, which is also cool. You didn't always get that in the original series because it just didn't.
It just wasn't. TV wasn't that way. It just wasn't.
TV wasn't that way. Exactly. Yeah. And it didn't, you know, it only ran how many seasons?
Three
seasons. That's right. So you get to see some interesting character relationships and growth, you know, even over like one season.
I mean, even like the last episode, you know, the whole thing with Uhura and that last scene with her, nothing is said. And she's just standing there on the deck looking at her, the place that she's going to be, that we know as fans, she's going to be for the next, you know, 40 years or whatever, you know, that character is going to be. And it's just like, that got me, you know, tearing up almost, you know, like welling up with like, oh yeah, that's a great shot. Like they didn't, and nothing is said. She's just standing there and you're
like, she sees her future now.
Along with
us. And she's, and she wants that.
Yeah. That was a great, and that was a wonderful build up to that moment over multiple episodes. You know, but it never felt in any way forced or anything like that. It was just like this gradual buildup throughout the season, you know, from the first episode, she was, you know, the rookie. And then a little bit later on, they touched on it some more. A little bit later on, she's on a landing party. And then, you know what I mean? In 8 episodes, she was probably featured every other episode or something. And then that last, you know, sort of thing is just like really impactful. And the only thing I didn't, what's her name? The security.
Khan's descendant.
Yeah, she was leaving.
Oh yes, yeah. She's going to hunt the Gorn.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Or not hunt the Gorn. She's going to try and rescue a bunch of people.
Yeah, that felt weirdly unbalanced. Or.
Well, you know, that's season 2, right? Is that they're building the Gorn up. That's the Borg.
Right.
That's the bad, that's the super bad enemy. And so, yeah, she'll be back next season when she needs the Enterprise to stop the Gorn from doing something.
Yeah.
That's my guess, right? That's what they're pointing towards.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping to be surprised, and it doesn't necessarily follow that pattern of like, well, we need a big bad for the season or anything like that. I don't want them to go away from the every episode is its own story. I hope they never go away from that formula.
Yeah, it's. I think they're gonna do kind of. Like in X-Files, you know?
No, and they did a really good job with this season where every episode was its own story and there was an overarching, you know, season.
I'm okay in like a 10 episode season if like 3 of them are like interconnected into more of an overarching story, right?
Yeah, I just don't want it to take over every episode. I don't want it to be, you know, this thing where it's like, that's what the season is about. So that's why it's like when you bring up the idea of like, oh, the Gorn are going to be, it's like, well, I don't want that to be, I don't want that to take over the season. I want I love that every episode is its own thing. And yet, you know, like you even said with Uhura, it was so well done that it was just like, you know, she was parts of individual episodes that then built to something greater in the end, but it wasn't ever like, you know, they had, you know, they were like force feeding us that or anything. It was very well done.
Joe G agrees with you on the comments.
Yeah, section. I love it. I hope they never go away from that.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I agree. That was that was Doctor Who forever, right? When I was growing up, it was the. Actually, God, no, that's a terrible comparison. Those were those were like 4 and 5 episode arcs. Stories. Yeah. But yeah, so it was more of a trade format.
Okay. Yeah. All right, enough TV. Did you read any other comics?
Yeah, I did. Man, have you read What's the Furthest Place from Here? Are you reading?
I think I read
that?
The first issue of it and I didn't really dig it that much. Like, you guys love that book and I didn't.
I think it might be a little too like fucking weird and esoteric for you. It's there's a little of the I feel the weird for weird's sake in it sometimes, but it is the perfect amount of weird for me. The story is total like drop into new world and here's the rules And there's going to be a bunch of rules that we make up as you go through this kind of weird, is it post-apocalyptic world or not? You don't know. You have no basis of when or really where this is. And then they start throwing with this seventh issue, a backstory issue that maybe starts to connect some dots, but it's still, you don't know if it's supernatural or science based or what the hell is going on, but I like it.
Well, that's all that matters, if you like it.
I enjoy how it's basically there are no adults, and it is Lord of the Flies, but in tribes, right? But they're not the kids are. So the end of the world has happened probably within the last like 7-8 years, right? And it's, yeah, and but there's all sorts of rules. And whenever you age out, these weird creatures come and get you and drag you away. And you're never seen or heard from again.
It's interesting because, funny enough, this is a very similar story or idea to something that our old co-host Scotty Young and I, he had an idea to do something like this a long time ago, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. And we kept throwing ideas back and forth about it and just sort of like trying to figure out a way for it to work. Cause he knew what the idea was of like, there's a world without adults in it. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't quite figure out ever like why that would work, you know, why that would have, you know, how that would, and I think that might be my problem with this story is like, I see the sausage in it. You know what I mean? Like, I see, like, it's just like, oh, well, they're just like coming up with these weird, like, you know, lost-ish kind of answers to tell their story. Yes. But at the end of it, this, I don't know that any of this is going to make any fucking sense.
It may not.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so that's, I think that's, you know, I have a hard time sometimes with stories that just don't have any internal logic to them. And I feel like this one maybe doesn't have that or won't ever have that. Not to say that it can't be a good story.
I'll keep you posted. I know that whenever I see it come out, it's one of those comics that I'm like, oh, cool. I'm interested in what happens next.
Yeah, I think I read the first issue twice, and I never got to the second issue.
Dude, it happens.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is about it. Like, it just isn't one of those books that's grabbing me. But I'm glad you're enjoying
speaking
it.
Speaking of weird and weirdly awesome, actually a book that that you had suggested, and I think I'm on the fourth or fifth issue, and I'm not even going to try and explain it because it is banana puffs crazy. Banana. The fucking Defenders is so good.
Oh. that doesn't make any sense, but see, I'm okay with that, I think, because it's like, well, right? It's fucking magic, it's all bizarre magic, you know, that doesn't need to make sense.
It's like, oh, who's the newest defender? Oh yeah, it's Galactus's mom.
And
I'm sitting there reading that and you're like, oh, that's cool, and then I sat there for a second, it's like, fuck, that is Galactus's mother is a defender now in a previous universe. it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a really goofy, wacky out there fucking series for sure. But it's beautiful, beautifully drawn, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those books that's just like kind of you gotta ride the fucking dragon on that one. You just gotta sit back.
It feels like the editor took a vacation kind of book.
Yeah. Just like, let Al do his thing. Well, Ewing is at his best. He does, you know, I felt that way with the Hulk. Like when he was first doing the Hulk, you know, it's such a bizarre initial you know, change for that character. And I was, there were times where I was just kind of lost, like, what the fuck is happening? This is really weird. And then I just, I kind of just let it wash over me. And it's just like, yeah, oh, it's weird. If I don't understand, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's just relax and float, man.
Yeah, just float along with it and let it carry you wherever it's going to take you. And it was, you know, really enjoyable once I kind of was able to just do that. Maybe that's what I need to do with the furthest place from here is just kind of go, okay. Yeah.
You're in a giant pizza freezer, man.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just
float.
Just float, man. You'll be all right. Just float. Just float alone, brother.
Or
dude.
Pizza fridge. Is that what it was?
Pizza fridge.
I love that guy. Oh, Stranger Things callback.
Oh. Oh. Pizza. No, Surfer Boy Pizza.
Yeah, it was a pizza fridge. What they ended up making her sensory deprivation tank out of.
The kitchen.
You need 600 pounds of salt.
I got you, man.
I fucking love that guy.
I love that he just goes with, you know, oh, she's got magic powers. Okay. You know, like, cool, you know, no real questioning of it or, you know, any of that. I wonder if he's going to be part of season, you know, the next.
He better be.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't lose that.
Can't lose him.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to wrap this thing up this next season because the cast is not going to be around forever.
Hey, why can't we have Stranger Things with them in college? I'm not opposed to it. Well, I'll watch them in college. I don't care. Let them grow up until they're, you know, their kids are, you know, I don't give a shit. Or just start with a whole bunch of new kids, you know, in suburban Chicagoland. I know the perfect. I know the perfect.
Perfect neighborhood. Yeah. You can show all the... All the back bike trails.
Oh,
all
yeah. That stuff. Yeah, I know. I have a Stranger Things like spin-off series. I'm ready to go Netflix. Just
you're too busy to do that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I do want to give a shout out to our other shows on the Patreon. If you are a patron, which you can find out more at patreon.com/roundcomics, you get to hear Sal and me talk about TVs and movies on ACTV. And then once a month, Will Pfeiffer drops by and we talk about Quentin Tarantino movies, which we have, a couple weeks? We're on to Hateful Eight, right?
Yes. Looking forward to that.
And then the like month long celebration of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood begins.
Yeah. We might have to do a live Patreon live kind of thing or something for that. I don't know. We gotta do something special, I think.
That'll be a hoot. Yeah. So you get that. I think Tom will have some Tom Versus coming up here at some point. I'm working on a new show with Tom. We're going to talk about old comics. I think I'm gonna talk to Tom about maybe we bounce it back and forth. And this can be a 5-minute show, a 5-hour show. I don't care. It's however long we want to talk about an old comic to where I'll let him know like a week ahead of time. And we'll just throw old comics back and forth. It's like, hey, read.
Literally? Is that the show? Marvel. You're literally going to throw comic books at each other?
Throw comic books. No, but I'll be like, hey, we're going to talk about Uncanny X-Men number 97. And he'll be like, why? And I'm like, well,
it was important to me.
Yeah, and then he'll read
it. Wait, I mean, you're going to make him read it right there on the show?
No, we'll know like a week before.
Oh.
So you get a chance to read, and it's one issue of an old comic.
So. Yeah, Tom loves old comics.
Tom loves old comics. So this is something I think that Tom and I, you know, we can, if you have the original issue, you know, I'll let him know what it smells like. You know, if it really does smell like old book, you know, has that, you know, 1980s era. Newsprint.
All my old comics are slabbed. I can't open them and read them any longer.
You're hilarious.
Everything I own slabbed.
All of your hardcovers are slabbed.
Everything. I have like old Mad magazine slabbed. I have, everything.
Flea market's going to love it whenever you die. All right. So you get that stuff at the Around Comics Patreon. We do a TED Talk once a month.
Joke's on you. I'm never dying.
Nah. Did I say TED Talk? We do a trade talk once a month. What is our trade talk?
New X-Men, Volume 1 by Grant Morrison.
There you go. We did the Usagi Yojimbo for our last one and some Morrison quietly X-Men goodness.
What I just dug X-Men out of a long box.
Oh my gosh. Oh, be careful with that. That's big money now that the TV show's coming
out. It's all folded and it's already been crushed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cover's got a stain on it. I think I bought it out of like a quarter box or something. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not slabbed.
Go read it. I remember that. I had that one. Does it smell like old book?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got a Lego. Look at the Lego.
Yeah. I've been talking She-Hulk for the audio folks.
God, they even told me number one collector's edition.
Collector's item. All the number ones. They're still collectors.
I didn't listen, though.
Boy, I love the casting for She-Hulk.
I don't remember who it is.
It's the gal from Orphan Black.
Okay. Sure. I don't give a shit.
Who I can never say her freaking name.
I'm watching the show for a big green chick. I don't really. How are they doing that? Are they CGI-ing her? Like what?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first trailer, it's Tatiana Maslany. Did you ever watch Orphan Black?
I watched like half of the first season, I think.
Ah, that show is fucking awesome. I love that fucking show. And she's great.
You love anything with a girl in it.
It's not true.
Kind of true.
It's kind of true. Doesn't hurt. I mean, there's plenty of things that have girls in them that you like.
Yeah. I don't love everything that's got a girl in it.
Either do I. Such a dick. All right. What else? Did I miss anything?
Joe G asked, was Inglourious Basterds one of his? Yes, we already did Inglourious Basterds.
Yes. Joe, we've done the, oh yeah, K-Billy Super Sounds. We've done them in order. So we just did, Django, and it's Hateful Eight, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then on to the Coen Brothers.
You can't wait.
I'm excited. I already have my Criterion edition for Blood Simple.
Hey, I read another comic this week. If we're not done talking about comics, you don't want to talk any more comics?
No. My stupid smart dumb speaker was yelling at me.
Alexa.
Stop it.
Dark Crisis number 2 came out. And did you notice, hey, I was going to mention, did you notice DC versus Vampires number 7 came out?
Did it?
It came out this week.
Oh, nice.
So the story continues. It wasn't just, yeah.
That's fucking, I'm not off base, right? That's just weird.
It was weird. It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like kind of spoiled now.
Yeah. It was a little odd. I don't know. But.
All right. So what's your Titans Crisis? What is it?
A Dark Crisis. It's just the main Crisis series. And it's basically the idea is the JLA the Justice League is all dead or gone or missing. Okay. I mean, they say they're dead. I'm sure they're not. But for the, you know, all intents and purposes, they are dead for this.
You mean Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are not dead?
According to DC, according to this book, they're all dead.
At some point, they may come back.
Yeah. And so it's kind of left up to the next group. You know, this is DC's sort of, hey, let's, you know, make Superboy Superman and Nightwing Batman. And I don't know who's going to be Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl. There's another Wonder Woman, but she's not really involved in this, which is weird. And then the Titans are involved. But normally I think I would hate this for all those reasons. But I, for whatever reason, one, the art in it is gorgeous. it's really terrific art by Daniel Sampier. So that's one thing. And it's written by Joshua Williamson, who I think is sort of becoming a very good comic book writer. And it's just kind of fun. It's a crisis. You have the crisis going on. And so you have the big story is sort of a pariah is behind this crisis. Spoilers. And he's got all the supervillains sort of working for him across different universes, defeating all the superheroes and fighting all the superheroes. And I don't know. There was just something about it. There's just like this issue was focused mostly on like Deathstroke fighting Nightwing. And but there's this really cool moment in it where, you know, you think Nightwing maybe is going to die, but doesn't he, you know, and it felt very much like a really good Justice League book, even though it's not the Justice League. And the interesting thing is like, they keep sort of referencing the idea that they're not the Justice League. Like these guys are not the Justice League, you know, Kal-El, son, Connor, not Connor. What's his name? I can't think.
Not Connor. The other one.
His dad's named after his dad.
Pa.
Yeah, what was Pa Kent's name?
It's Pa.
Anyway, that Superboy, Superman, Jonathan. And Nightwing, and yeah. Kyle Rayner's in it, and all the other Flashes are in it.
We've had a Kyle Rayner
side. Kyle Rayner's in it. And so you have all these like secondary heroes that are in it, you know, and I don't know. It just kind of feels like a little bit like the original Crisis in that sense, where it's very big, but the story is not super complicated. This isn't like a Grant Morrison kind of like really complex. It's way more straightforward. So maybe that's why I'm enjoying it a little bit more.
Superhero story, and it's kind of a big baton pass.
Yeah.
Between the generations.
And you get...
DC does.
Cyborg Superman is in this issue. So, I mean, how do you not love that?
Love me some Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just... I've enjoyed it so far.
Is that a John Byrne character?
Cyborg Superman? I don't think so. I think he was long before John Byrne.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% positive on that. Dan Jurgens.
Oh man, it's amazing how many characters Dan Jurgens created if you start thinking about it.
Probably. I don't know. I never really thought about it, but
there's a lot from that era.
He was Adventures of Superman 466 in 1990, so I guess later than I thought, but yeah.
Interesting.
Henry Hank Henshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg Superman. So there you go. So I don't know. I really enjoy it. I'm enjoying the Dark Crisis, which I really didn't think I would, but I am enjoying it. And I don't know. That between that and World's Finest, I'm having a lot of fun with the DC Comics.
Yeah, you are in a Mark Waid kind of place right now.
I just want a nice, simple superhero story. I don't need it to be, I don't need it to be groundbreaking or, you know, completely new or just give me, and there's enough room for all of it. You know, like I've gotten to the point where I've completely 100% respect the idea that, you know, these publishers should make a bunch of comics that aren't for a 50-year-old dude, but make a couple that are. And you know, that's all I'm asking.
That's good. Yeah. You know, I'll still be here, man.
Give me that World's Finest and I'm in, you know, I'm good with it. And the reality is there's plenty of fucking comics. I mean,
there are more comics coming out now that I would enjoy reading if I had the time and or space in my memory banks.
There's more comics for me than I can read.
Yeah.
So I can't. Yep. Yeah.
I feel the same way about TV. You know, we spent thankfully, we spent about 4 days up on a lake up in northern Wisconsin. Really no TV, no nothing. And, you know, of course, we would sit around the fire and talk about what TV we're watching. And there's so much good stuff and good sounding stuff out there that I'm just like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm never going to get to that fucking show.
There is a lot. There is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's another comic. Another comic book. Did you hear?
Nice. I will check that out.
Speaking of TV, Daredevil is coming back on Disney on the new Echo show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to bring... Well, that makes sense. I mean, that is a Daredevil character.
Right.
Yeah, so I wonder how much of the Daredevil cast is going to come back. Are we going to see?
Well, what's his name?
Karen.
Cox, and they said Kingpin so far.
Okay, so yeah, Charlie Cox and D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio.
Oh, and yeah, who's awesome?
James Caan died today.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to pull out my copy of Rollerball.
Misery, the greatest James Misery.
Caan. It is the greatest James Caan film.
Rollerball.
For me.
Yeah, not Godfather.
Not Misery. Yeah, I didn't say best movie he's been in. I don't think of Godfather as you know, a James
Caan movie.
Yeah. Misery is really good, but yeah, for me, when I saw Rollerball, that's the movie that may have turned me into a big like 70s dystopian film fan. I loved that story. Loved, yeah, just that kind of really weird, bleak look at the future. Yeah.
I enjoy Rollerball. I think it's a terrible movie. Yeah. But I do enjoy it. It's certainly not his best movie. I could name at least three movies that are better than Rollerball of James Caan's movies.
Thief. Alien Nation. Yeah.
Alien Nation is terrific.
Yeah.
The Killer Elite is a great James Caan movie. Yeah. I would put The Program. I don't know if it's necessarily a James Caan movie, but The Program is a terrific sports movie. With James Caan. I mean, you don't even really talk about his Westerns. He did a bunch of Westerns when he was younger. And Rollerball's great though. How about Brian's Song?
Sure. Rollerball is a movie that captures a niche in filmmaking history at an era whenever that kind of movie was being made.
Of course I love Rollerball. Of course.
Yeah.
Jonathan, but it's a terrible movie.
Jonathan. I mean,
it's terrible, but it's great. It's terribly great. Who directed Rollerball? Let's see.
Greg Porter just...
Norman Jewison.
Bottle Rocket. He was the first Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, but that's not a James Caan movie. Once again. That's, you know. You can't really call that a James Caan movie. Norman Jewison directed it.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, farewell to James Caan. You will be missed. Not that you've been doing much in the last however many years as an actor, but terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific actor. And
for the younger generation, the artist that did Yu-Gi-Oh! Died. They found his body washed up on shore with a snorkel mask.
What is Yu-Gi-Oh!
Like Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Cartoon and the manga and all that.
Kazuki Takahashi.
Yes.
Manga creator found dead in the sea at 60. Oh, that's sad. Poor dude. He's probably just taking a swim, huh?
Yeah, he's probably a billionaire. He's probably a billionaire. All right, sir. We were ready to wrap this puppy up?
I believe so. I'm good. I don't have anything else to really talk about at this point.
I'm back on a regular schedule here for a while, I think. So we'll chit chat on Sunday. I think Tom is gonna jump in maybe. So if you're if you haven't signed up for the Patreon,
there's
a perfect reason. Perfect reason to do so. All right, sir. You have a great rest of your week and weekend, and I'll holler at you on Sunday. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere. In.
Hand around.
Comics. 80s nostalgia TV shows.
Give me those 80s babies.